Gouda Bhaktavinda. Jaya Advaita Chandra, Jaya Gouda Bhaktavinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra, Jaya Gouda Bhaktavinda. And yes, no surprise to anyone, today we have the fortune to speak about Srila Advaita Acharya. I'm reading, first of all, from two verses in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 3. Acharya Shraddha Bhakti Griha Sampada Dane Sakala Shapala Haila Prabhura Aradani. In this way, all the opulences of Advaita Acharya, his faith, his devotion, his home, his riches, and everything else were successfully utilized in the worship of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Advaita Acharya set an ideal example for all householder devotees in his reception of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees, and in his execution of a daily festival at his home. If one has the proper means and wealth, he should occasionally invite the devotees of Lord Chaitanya who were engaged in preaching all over the world and hold a festival at home simply by distributing prasadam and talking about Krishna consciousness during the day and holding congregational chanting for at least 3 hours in the evening. Caveat there. This procedure must be adopted in all the centers of the Krishna consciousness movement. Thus, they will perform daily Sankirtan Yajna. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, chapter 5, verse number 32, the daily performance of Sankirtan Yajna is recommended for this age. Yajnai Sankirtana Prayor Yajanti Hi Sumera Saha. One should worship Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his four associates, the Panchatattva, by distributing prasadam and holding congregational chanting. Indeed, that jagna, or sacrifice, is most recommended in this age of Kali. In this age, other jagnas are not possible to perform, but this jagna can be performed everywhere and anywhere without difficulty. The second verse from Madhya Lila. All the edibles were first cooked by the wife of Advaita Acharya. Then Srila Advaita Acharya personally offered everything to Lord Vishnu. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This is the ideal householder's life. The husband and wife live together. The husband works very hard to secure paraphernalia for the worship of Lord Vishnu. The wife at home cooks a variety of foods for Lord Vishnu, and the husband offers it to the deity. After that, arti is performed, and the prasadam is distributed amongst family members and guests. According to the Vedic principles, there must always be a guest in the householder's house. In my childhood, I have actually seen my father receive not less than 4 guests every day, and in those days, my father's income was not very great. Nonetheless, there was no difficulty in offering prasadam to at least 4 guests every day. According to Vedic principles, a householder, before taking lunch, should go outside and shout very loudly to see if there is anyone without food. In this way, he invites people to take prasadam. If someone comes, the householder offers him prasadam. And if there is not much left, he should offer his own portion to the guest. If no one responds to his call, the householder can accept his own lunch. Thus, the householder's life is also a kind of austerity. Because of this, the householder's life is called Grihastha Ashram. Although a person may live with wife and children happily in Krishna consciousness, he also observes the regulative principles followed in any temple. If there is no Krishna consciousness, the householder's abode is called Grihamedi's house. Householders in Krishna consciousness are called Grihastas. that is, those living in the ashram with their family and children. Sri Advaitacharya was the ideal grihastha, and his house was the ideal grihastha ashram. Om Ajnana Tamarandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Lam Jayate Girim Yakripanta Maham Bande Sri Gurum Dinitarino Avancha Kapaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Baheba Cha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Sri Gadadhar Shivasri Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Please narrate this divine and miraculous pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, for it will cleanse the polluted consciousness of the material worlds. By hearing it, mankind can become freed from the repeated cycle of birth and death, which is plagued with horrible sins and can awaken love in the hearts of all people. One should proclaim the Panchatattva's sublime and auspicious deeds, for by hearing them, the burning anguish extinguished amongst the inhabitants of the material world will be pacified, and pure Krishna prema will awaken within our hearts. Do you know a great secret of devotional service? Whoever glorifies Advaitacharya as the best of the Vaishnavas will themselves be a Vaishnava and remain in the service of the lotus feet of Krishna birth after birth. Therefore, we humbly submit this to you. Now, before I get in any trouble or take into task for gender role bias in the verse referring to the duties of the husband and wife, which was written in the 15th century Bengal, in our current times, these roles may change. That's whatever. The underlying principle noted here remains the same, though. The husband and wife work together serving Krishna in whatever capacity they have. This is how to have a happy Krishna-conscious life in the household or ashram. I was remembering in this second verse here, the purport where Prabhupada talks about inviting guests for prasadam. When I was a young brahmachari in the St. Louis Temple, the old St. Louis Temple, there was one householder couple, Kodandin and Savitri, that lived two or three doors down, and they practiced this. She would prepare the lunch, and she would step out on the back porch and call, if there is anyone that... Now, it didn't take us brahmacharis long to get the idea of this. So six or eight of us would show up, and finally, Kodandin said to her one day, go to the front porch and say it a little softer. I'm not getting any prasadam. So at any rate, this is the activities. The material world is described in the Bhagavad Gita by two particular words, dukalayam, ashashvatam, a temporary world that is full of miseries. And yet, the Supreme Lord is ever compassionate on we the jivas in our struggles here, and he facilitates our chances for liberation while in this place. And he does so in three primary ways. One, by his various incarnations. Two, by his divine instructions. And three, by his holy name. These three are always present within the material world in some form or another at some time or another. So today we're going to speak about the particular incarnation of Sri Advaita Acharya. I want to start off with a warning that Advaita Acharya gives us. It's quite common and become quite popular to speak ill of Vaishnavas. So Advaita Acharya makes the following statement. Sinful rascals who take the side of one Vaishnava simply for the purpose of criticizing another Vaishnava will simply die in the fire of their own offenses. Such wicked and vile persons who only find fault in the Vaishnavas simply bring about their own demise. So let us as some might say, tattoo this across our foreheads, or your arm or your back, wherever you want to put it. But it's a very important point. Sri Advaita Acharya appeared from the womb of Nabha Devi, just as the moon appears in the autumn sky. My wife asked me today, as we were coming back from the wedding we attended, what was Advaita Acharya's age in correspondence, in correlation, I should say, to Lord Chaitanya. Almost like a grandfather. He was a bit older than the father of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So quite some years was there. The father of Advaita Acharya was Kubera Pandit. And Bhakti Ratnakar explains to us that he himself was quite old when Advaita Acharya was born. And when Advaita Acharya was born, it describes that Kubera Pandit was floating in an ocean of bliss and gave great gifts of charity to all the brahmanas. He very quietly approached the maternity room just to get a glimpse of his newborn son. And there, his own face began to shine from the reflected moonlight effulgence of his own son. So all the residents of the area, they all came quickly to see the child, everyone remarking they'd never seen such a beautiful baby. What a pious family his parents must be to have such a wonderful child, and especially in their elderly age. Ghanashyam Prabhu sings a very beautiful song in the Bhakti Ratnakar about this. The child was given the name at birth of Mangal. He was born at a very auspicious time. But his full name was Kamalakanta Vedapaschana, shortly referred to as Kamalaksha. We know him as Advaita Acharya later in his life, but Kamalaksha. As a child, his pastimes were amazing. There are so many of them. One particular pastime, when he was a student, sitting with his teacher and several of the disciples, they were sitting on the side of a lake. And this lake, there were flowers in the middle of this lake growing that the fragrance was just amazing. But the lake was surrounded by these very thorny water bushes, you know, like a water plant. So you couldn't get to it. So one day, the teacher said to the students, "I'm very desirous of one of these flowers to offer. Which of you will go forth and get it?" Oh, no one said anything. Kamalaksha raised his hand. He said, "I will fetch it for you." The teacher looked at him quizzically and said, "One should not boast about what he cannot accomplish." This is also a very important lesson, even from a very young age. Boastfulness about things that we may or may not be able to do is not a very good quality. At any rate, Kamalaksha said, "Oh, I will fulfill." He stood up and he walked across the top of the water all the way out, collected the flower, brought it back in and gave it to his teacher. At that point, his teacher realized that I have no business teaching this student. He is far, far more advanced than I am. So many such pastimes as a youth. I mean, we could sit here for days and speak about Advaita Acharya. What to speak of 45 minutes? So we'll just drop a little nectar there from his childhood. We understand that Advaita Acharya is the combined incarnation of Mahavishnu and Sadashiva. I was listening to a lecture Prabhupada gave in Mayapur this morning on Advaita Acharya, and he very strongly mentioned this point about his being an incarnation of Mahavishnu, Ishvara. That he's in the Ishvara Tattva. We're in the Jiva Tattva category. He's in the Ishvara Tattva category. And the Ishvara, he said, the Ishvara is one who has no senior, who has no superior. He is the source. So this Mahavishnu, even Lord Brahma is coming from Mahavishnu ultimately. So it was understood by many of the Vaishnavas who resided there in Navadvip that Advaita Acharya had manifested in this form simply to bless all the worlds. He was the most prominent preceptors in many, many different fields of knowledge, renunciation, and devotion. he would explain the principles of Krishna Bhakti in such a way that the entire three worlds could easily understand this point. This is the duty, as Prabhupada says, of the householder, to gather friends, devotees, guests together, to have some kirtan, speak some philosophy, and take some prasadam. But that philosophy is not just willy-nilly. That philosophy is understanding the principles of bhakti. So he had this unique ability. Except that one time, Advaitacharya was having a bit of difficulty understanding a particular verse from the Bhagavad Gita and thus explaining it. Now, this is an important correlation there, because you can only explain what you can understand. This was the agreement between Ganesh and Vedavyas in writing down the Vedas. I will agree to write them down, but you have to speak without stopping. Well, I'll speak without stopping as long as you only write down what you understand. And so when a break was needed, some very deep philosophical points. At any rate, the point being that Advaitacharya could not explain this verse, chapter 13, text number 14, because he did not clearly understand it himself. He could explain it randomly, but not in regards to the principles of devotional service. So he found no fault in the verse itself. He understood the shortcoming was his own. So he decided to give up eating, and I will simply fast. So in this way, he took up this vow of fasting. Being quite afflicted by this fasting, he laid down and fell asleep. As we see with many of the great pastimes, of our great acharyas, Mahaprabhu came to him in a dream. And Mahaprabhu forbade him to continue fasting. He said, I eat whatever my devotees offer me. Therefore, if you don't eat, I fast. And I'm very, very hungry. If you feel any distress, even for a half a moment, then for me that is also intolerable. Therefore, get up. Get up, O Acharya. I will explain this verse to you at some later time. You should know this without a doubt, that I will tell you its proper meaning. But for now, please just get up and take your meal. So we can see this sweet pastime between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Advaitacharya. Of course, we're not going into so much detail. Everyone knows the essence of Advaitacharya's pastimes. He's inviting the Lord to come by the worship of the Shalagram Shila. Incidentally, a Nisringa Shalagram Shila. Incidentally, which was worshipped by his father, Kuvera, who was a Nisringa Bhakta. So that makes perfect sense. So that pastime, we understand that this is why the Lord came, to satisfy that desire of Advaitacharya. So Advaitacharya heard this and certainly did get up and prepare his meal and take like this. And this alleviated all the doubts he had in his mind. After this dream and after his meal, some time later, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu addressed him. He said, I previously have explained everything to you. This was the nature of their relationship, of course. But one thing I didn't explain to you was this verse in question from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 13, text number 14, which I will tell to you today. This verse has been misinterpreted by those who adhere to the particular philosophy of Mayavada. The impersonalists take the word sarvata to mean that the ultimate manifestation of the Supreme is some universal, formless, cosmic consciousness. However, the actual meaning is sarvatra. The consciousness of the Supreme is manifested everywhere in all beings as the Supersoul. I have explained this secret meaning to you because other than you, who can grasp the significance of this explanation? Now, we may think, well, I get that. That's pretty simple. But do we? Prabhupada so many times spoke about our Mayavadi tendencies. So in this way, in a secret exchange, Advaitacharya became the disciple of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because the teacher gives the instructions. As I mentioned, Advaitacharya was senior to Mahaprabhu, and therefore Mahaprabhu always respected him as a senior Vaishnava and as a senior chronologically, being older than his own father. Advaitacharya did not like this. He was among a handful that knew Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the supreme personality of Godhead, manifest here. I don't want him giving me respect. I want to worship him. So this particular pastime satisfied this. Now, one time, Mahaprabhu was dancing very, very, very ecstatically with some of his devotees on the Sankirtan. And Advaitacharya was ecstatically following. Many of these pastimes prior to Mahaprabhu taking sannyas in Navadvip there, many of these pastimes were involved with many devotees, Advaitacharya being right there in the mix, of course. And during this kirtan, Mahaprabhu fell into a mood of pure ecstasy and fainted on the ground. When he fainted in this way, in a very inconspicuous manner, Advaitacharya reached down and took the dust from his feet, put it to his head. Again, satisfying his desire to worship Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the supreme personality of Godhead, but not doing that externally so as to cause any difficulty. He took that dust, put it on his head, smeared it all over his limbs. So, as I mentioned, Mahaprabhu's explanation of that verse in the Bhagavad Gita explains how the Lord is the supersoul in all living beings. And this supersoul, Sri Gaura Mahaprabhu, understood what Advaitacharya had done. So he got up and he began to dance again. It was only about half-hearted dancing. And he stopped. He put forth the question to his associates, why am I feeling some constraint in my dancing? No doubt there has been an offense on my part, and therefore I am not feeling happiness. Which thief has stolen something from me? Due to being implicated in that offense of theft, I am not feeling the ecstasy to dance freely now. All right, whoever has taken the dust from my feet, don't be anxious. There'll be no punishment. I just want to know. Now, I was always a little hesitant growing up if my father said, look, just tell me the truth. There won't be any punishment. Who took the, you know, whatever it happened to be? So Mahaprabhu said like this. Now the devotees, they heard this, and as I say, knowing that the super soul in the heart is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they all felt a little trepidation, and therefore they all remained silent. Nobody said anything. They were all thinking, if I tell Mahaprabhu, then what will Advaita think of me? But if I don't say anything, better I just die on the spot instead of it get implicated in this. Advaitacharya, being, as I mentioned, Ishwara, Mahavishnu, he also could understand the mood of all the devotees. So he said, my dear Lord, please hear me. If you were determined to know who the thief is, even though you did not catch anyone in the act of stealing, I will confess to that crime. This would have been a good lawyer's argument. Your Honor, they say my client is a thief, but we have no proof that he has been seen stealing anything. But Advaitacharya was concerned for all the Vaishnavas. So, my dear Lord, that is the case. You please forgive me. I promise I won't do it again if it causes you any dissatisfaction and displeasure. Now, Vishwambar had to externally show one mood while internally showing another mood. And he externally showed a mood of anger. And he began to chastise Advaitacharya. But how did he chastise Advaitacharya? By glorifying his good qualities. Because if you're a very senior, realized, advanced devotee, the last thing you want is people to talk good words about you. Oh, put your tilak on so nicely. I've never seen anyone with such knowledge of the Shastras as you. Your worship of the deities is... But no, a proper advanced devotee doesn't want that. So this was the punishment that Vishwambhar was giving to Advaita Acharya. He said, you have destroyed all the worlds, yet you don't feel any remorse. Neither do you think how to remedy this dire situation which you have caused. I am one of the few survivors. So now you'll come destroy me also. And thus you enjoy happiness in doing so. You have finished off some of the finest, some of the greatest renunciates, the greatest sannyasis, the greatest yogis, and the best of wise men. They approach you in order to make their lives more successful. This is, they all pray to Mahavishnu, to the Supreme Lord, and yet you destroy them by catching hold of their feet. Now, of course, this is Mahaprabhu indicating that he is the culmination of all these things. Great renunciates, great sannyasis, great yogis, great wise men like this. He continues. He doesn't stop there. He continues. You are supremely merciless when it comes to annihilating someone. Whatever opportunities and facilities to attain the Lord through worship of him that are existing within the unlimited universes, and he's Mahavishnu, so he knows about the unlimited universes, Krishna has given to you alone. Yet still, you become a thief and try to steal the limited merits that might be available from a person like myself, an insignificant soul. Now here we see Mahaprabhu playing even more with Advaita because he's looking at himself as just a simple devotee. I'm not what you think I am. There is not an ounce of compassion in your mind. Otherwise, how are you prepared to destroy such a trifling and trivial person as myself? You are the greatest of thieves. Now, this is interesting that he should say this because it is Advaita Acharya's immense compassion on the fallen souls of this Kali Yuga that he prays by worshiping Shalagram with water and Tulsi for him to come. He and Haridas Thakur conversed about this many times and understood that unless the Lord himself manifests in this Kali Yuga, there is no hope for the living entities who are suffering in this age. So in this way, Mahaprabhu is poking at him a bit. But then he quickly changes his mood. And he says, as far as loving dealings go, however, you have made me very happy by your stealing. So then ultimately he comes out with the fact that, yes, it is true, taking the dust from the lotus feet of a personality like, you know, so on like that. So in this way, the Lord enumerated all the wonderful qualities of Advaita under the pretense of criticizing him. And this, of course, just as I'm reading this, I'm seeing so many smiling faces at the words of Mahaprabhu. And this is exactly what all the assembled devotees were with. You can imagine, they're all sitting there and watching Mahaprabhu say this, and they're going back and forth. And the devotees are just enjoying this like anything. The Lord continued, however, if you are prepared to commit such thefts, then what am I also not capable of? But just you see, today I will steal from he who is the greatest thief. And in this way, Mahaprabhu dove at the lotus feet of Advaita Acharya, who quickly sidestepped that and tried to reach again the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu, who quickly grabbed the hand of Advaita Acharya, and then tried to touch Advaita Acharya's feet, who quickly grabbed the other, and they began wrestling, trying to grab each other's feet, rolling on the ground in the dust of Navadvip, raising a great cloud, and all the devotees clapping and laughing in great ecstasy at this fun. But ultimately, Sri Gaura was very powerful, and elderly Advaita was no match for him. Just like if I were to get into a wrestling match with our Krishna Kishore, I don't know, I might be, no, I'd surely lose. So in this way, Sri Gaurasundara forcibly caught the feet of Advaita Acharya and rubbed them on his head. Today I have brought you to my lap and have retaliated against you for your numerous petty thefts. So in this way, Advaita then returned to him and spoke, yes, my lord, you have spoken the truth. What can I say? But how will you steal what has already been willingly given to you? This is the proper mood of a devotee. Everything I have belongs to the Lord. As we're reading in these verses from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Advaita Acharya is considered the best householder because everything he had, his riches, his knowledge, his home, his family, was all used in the service of the Lord. So this is there. He continues, my intelligence, my body, my very life has already been surrendered to you. Now, if you want to destroy all of these, then who can prevent you? You are the bestower of happiness and of suffering as well. If you want to punish anyone, then whose father will come to protect them? This is the duty of the father to protect the children. Where's your father? So someone goes to attack him, you're going to step in and protect. But Advaita says, he says, if you're going to take from someone, my dear Lord, what father can protect them? So the main point is made here, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is free to do whatever he wants, but what he does is governed by his loving relationships with his devotees. And we see that here. Vishwambar goes on and on, and there's quite a few other words here, but the idea, the point is that the devotees are appreciating this, and it is for their benefit that these two Mahaprabhus, as Chaitanya Charitamrita describes Advaita, Nityananda, and Lord Chaitanya, these two Mahaprabhus are enacting these pastimes for everyone's benefit. As an ideal householder, Advaita Acharya always respected Vaishnavas. There's one example of how important this is. Bhakti Ratnakara explains to us that once Advaita Acharya went on pilgrimage to Mathura and Vrindavan. I one time asked one now passed away friend of mine from Vrindavan, Vishwambar Goswami, who was previously the head of the Radharaman temple. Goswamiji, we see all the pilgrims, they get up every morning, they go to the different temples, they, you know, walk or they ride their bicycle, they go to the Jumuna to get their bath water. You know, we know our Srila Prabhupada in a different light, but he was one time a resident of Vrindavan. Did he do like this? He said, oh, yes. Your Prabhupada was a very respected local Baba. He would go to all the different temples and go to the Jumuna for taking bath water, just like all of the pilgrims do. So, similarly, Advaita Acharya had gone on pilgrimage to Mathura Vrindavan. And he was staying for some extended time in Mathura because it's so beautiful in Mathura. Now, at that time in Mathura, there was a worthless Brahmin. Not the adjective you want put before your name if you are a Brahmin. Oh, very elevated Brahmin. Oh, very nice Brahmin. Oh, very knowledgeable. Worthless Brahmin. It's not what you want. Why was he worthless? Because it was his habit to speak ill of the Vaishnavas. And that was his worst habit. He had many other bad habits, but his worst habit was to speak ill of the Vaishnavas. He's a very proud scholar, also a bad quality, and a wicked man. Now, what wicked activities he took up isn't indicated, but he was a very wicked person. But he had great Brahma tejas, and so the inhabitants of Mathura were very fearful of him. One time, in great foolishness, in front of Advaita Acharya, he began to criticize Vaishnavas. Advaita Acharya became so furious that his upper lip began to tremble. Have you ever seen anybody get that mad? I saw that once in my life. Not a good sign. And his eyes grew red as fire. And in a very loud voice, comparable to Mahavishnu himself, he screamed, oh, you wicked man, today you will not escape me. I shall sever your head from your body with this chakra. And he manifested four arms, one of them holding the chakra. Now, we have no indication of Advaita Acharya showing his Mahavishnu form. But here, he showed the chakra. The Brahmin saw this and began to tremble in great fear. And he realized, somehow or another, he had enough intelligence left. He realized he had crossed that line. So he folded his hands and fell to the ground and begged Advaitacharya, saying, "Oh, my dear Lord, punish me as you like. Unfortunately, I've lost all my good intelligence and not understanding Vaishnava Tattva." That's interesting, Vaishnava Tattva, the truth about Vaishnavas. "I have committed unlimited sins. Please, please be kind and spare me from the reaction of these sins and do not take my life." And the Brahmin just continued to cry helplessly. Advaitacharya saw the sincerity that was there and withdrew that Mahavishnu forearmed form. Seeing that wretched condition of that Brahmin, Advaitacharya actually felt pity on him, his poor circumstance. So he decided to bless him. Advaitacharya gave him the following instructions. First, he told him, "The sins that you have committed, offending Vaishnavas, they will send you to hell. But that's what you always want to hear when you hear but I will tell you what you must do to become free from that fate. Admit your guilty mentality. Give up," admitting it means to give it up as well. "Admit and give up your guilty mentality. Give up all sense pleasures. Engage yourself in Nam Sankirtan. Serve the Vaishnavas with your heart and soul and be very cautious in your dealing with them and engage yourself in worship according to the standards of pure devotion. And do not tell anyone about the exchange we have had here today." So after advising this Brahmana in how to redeem himself, Advaitacharya continued on his pilgrimage to Vrindavan from Mathura. The Brahmin did exactly that. He absorbed himself in Nam Sankirtan, proved himself humble by visiting the house of every Vaishnava in Mathura with tears in his eyes and begging their forgiveness. And seeing his sincere efforts, all the Vaishnavas were very satisfied and wished him well. The Vaishnavas discussed amongst themselves, though, how is it that this person has changed himself so much? One man said that, "Well, I saw that there was a Brahmin who came to Mathura whose effulgence was as bright as the sun, and I saw him speaking with this man. So most likely, he is the Lord incarnated in human form, and he has changed the Brahmin's heart." And this is exactly correct for us. If we embrace the teachings of Advaitacharya, if we follow the example of Advaitacharya, then we can find that our heart will also become changed. We all need to change our heart. There's so many different gradations of Vaishnavas, higher, lower, more pure, not so pure. Of course, Prabhupada said we don't criticize someone in the shower, you know, because they're cleaning themselves. So we're all here together, cleaning ourselves, trying to go back to home, back to Godhead. This example of Advaitacharya and these instructions he gives can help to change the hearts that we have. So now you see the importance of this instruction about not criticizing Vaishnavas that we opened up with on Advaitacharya. I'd like to go on for quite a bit more, but I want to repeat these instructions Advaitacharya gave to the householders. We're all householders here. I think there might be one or two saffrons. Two, maybe. Is there a third? No, there's no third. Okay. So we're all householders, so we can use these instructions. So, "My people, please consider and act accordingly. These are the essential truths of the householder devotee. Number one, regularly perform morning and evening prayers." Srila Prabhupada called this the sandwich program. "Number two, perform japa and sankirtan daily. Number three, do not covet the spouses of others or their wealth. Otherwise, you will suffer not only in this life, but in the next. little side note to that, my father used to always tell me, if things look greener on the other side of the fence, it's probably a septic problem over there. Number four, don't commit violence, but show mercy to all. Number five, don't blaspheme others, but instead glorify all sadhus. He doesn't say the sadhus in your yatra, the sadhus in your mutt, the sadhus in your sampradaya, all sadhus. Number six, plant tulsi in your home. Show a hand, who has tulsi in their home? So many hands went up. Number seven, by performing sankirtan, all sinful reactions will flee and perfection will be achieved. Number eight, always engage in devotional service to Krishna without any doubt. Without any doubt. This is a very important thing. Number nine, don't act for your own pleasure. And number 10, if you lead your family members in the service of the Lord, then all pious and impious results will be removed. Now, one might look at that and say, whoa. Okay, you can have the impious ones, but I want to keep all the pious stuff. No. Sudha. We're looking for pure devotional service. We want not the mode of ignorance, not the mode of passion, not the mode of goodness. We want pure goodness. And that pure goodness is there in devotional service. Devotional service transcends all pious and impious activities. This is why we try to relieve ourselves of our karma. Not just, you know, oh, I got karma because in my last life I killed, you know, whatever. No, I got karma and I'm going to be a very elevated personality and you have great... No, I don't want that either. All pious and impious results will be removed if leading our family, that means collectively as a family, we engage in the service of the Lord. This reflects us back once again to the opening two verses about Sri Advaita Acharya, that in this way, all the opulences of Advaita Acharya, his faith, his devotion, his home, his riches, his everything, were successfully utilized in the worship of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So let us conclude with the understanding that it's not enough just to want to be a devotee. We have to follow an example. And here we see Advaita Acharya is a greatly elevated personality, a prominent member of the Panchatattva, the one that by prayer and devotion caused Mahaprabhu to appear. Yet at the same time, he's an exact perfect example for those of us in the household ashram. There we go. The final quote I'd like to read is the Palastuti from Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's Sri Advaita Astakam, eight prayers glorifying Advaita Acharya. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Advaita Acharya are of the same age group. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, of course, was an extremely learned person. So he composed these eight prayers. And the concluding prayer in there, a person whose intelligence is pure and who every day happily reads these eight verses glorifying Advaita Acharya, the husband of Sita, will attain devotion to his lotus feet and become very dear to him. Raise your hand if you would like to be dear to Advaita Acharya. Okay, I see a couple of hands that aren't up. Raise both hands if you would like to be dear to Advaita Acharya. Now, while your hands are up, say with me, Advaita Acharya ki jai! Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. We have 4-5 minutes maybe. So if there's any questions or comments or corrections,
any question,
chastisements, I take those.
Any question, comments, reflection?
We have one right here. He always has a question. That's good. It's a good sign. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Let me get my hearing aids racked up here. Sorry, I should have done this earlier. Go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. You said that Prabhupada pointed out that we've got some subtle Mayavadi tendencies. Hmm. Can you list a few of them?
Yeah. We think that we're God. What was it? I had a friend tell me the other day, my wife and I ended up getting a divorce. I said, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. I said, what was the problem? He said, well, it was a religious difference. She thought she was God, I didn't. Or if you're a lady telling that, he thought he was God, I didn't. So at any rate, yes, we think too much of ourselves, and we think that everything in this universe is there for my enjoyment. This is, everything's for me. I'm the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everything should be satisfying my desires. This is just a small hint of it. Others? Anyone? No? All right. Well, we have wonderful prasadam for Advaitacharya's festival. We have nice feast out there. So everyone can go and take prasadam of Advaitacharya. Remember his lotus feet and be very happy in Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna.